Just means this is where God has us. And until God directs us differently, this is what we're going to do. But I say that also to preface it with this. It's real easy to do something because it is a routine. It is because what we've always done. It's because it's the AG way, whatever. And we got to be real careful that we don't return on Sunday nights and me as the pastor, oh, here we go, until we cancel that service, I guess I'm supposed to get a sermon or something like that. You're supposed to be loyal for whatever reason. Boy, those are aimless ideas, isn't it? But what I want to come to talk to you about before I get into my message tonight is simply this. You know, if any of you have been in a corporate circumstance or even with your teachers or whatever, you have staff meetings or you have scheduled meetings where it's an update on procedures or protocol or, you know, safety and stuff like that. And you've been in those things and you almost sleep through them because it's the same old, same old. And if we're not careful, that's exactly what our routines in Christ can be. It can be the same old thing. Also, I think it's important for us to remind ourselves that I think of the pilot. You know, there's pilots up there that have logged thousands of hours. But every time they crawl into the cockpit, they have this thing called a checklist. And they go down that list of the things that they have to check off. They have to test this and test that and make sure that this is working and this is working. And you know what? There's got to be a part of them that goes, can we really just kind of go without this today? Do we really have to do this all over again? They've probably done it so many times it just bores them to death. But you know what they're doing? They're doing this for a reason. And the reason isn't self-serving. Do you think that pilot really needs that checklist? He knows how to fly by the seat of his pants, probably with his eyes closed. You know what he's doing it for? He's doing it for all those people on the other side of the cockpit door. Sometimes the things that we do, whether it's a discipline of going to a before church class, maybe it's something that we do in prayer, maybe it's a devotional, maybe it's Sunday night services, Wednesday night involvement. You know, we do it for the sake of others and not just ourselves. There's a greater purpose. And the worst thing that can ever happen to anybody who's a believer in Christ is that the whole focus of why we do anything all revolves around us. And that's a very, very difficult thing to do. So tonight, I want to focus on something that I think is pretty cool. We don't talk about it a whole lot, but yet we talk all around it. And that is what happened on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell on these choice disciples. And what I want to talk about, obviously, is that one little phrase there, they were all in one accord. I want to talk about that tonight because it's important. That had to have been a very unique setting. It had never happened before. There they were. And I remember there's sometimes words that just kind of come up and they kind of stick in society for a while. I remember when the word surreal started coming around. I thought, what does that mean, you know? And then I remember things like, you know, everybody saying, I need closure. You know, just different words. But that word surreal means it's like dreamlike. And I bet if the disciples, after the fact, after that incredible circumstance, probably said it was a little bit like that. I doubt they could have put it in words. There was no day like it ever before and probably ever since. But it's a great reference for them. The disciples were totaled of some 120 people. They were in one place, and it was a familiar place. They were in Jerusalem where they'd been commanded to be. They were in the upper room. And according to Acts, the first chapter, verse 13. And see, isn't it almost like you're going, Pastor Dave, I'm Pentecostal. I'm Assembly of God. I have heard this sermon before. Yes, you have. I guarantee you have. A lot of you have studied it. A lot of you have taught this lesson. A lot of you have shared it with your kids. You've heard it from pulpits like this time and time again. But I'm going to ask you to be real careful and just focus on what God wants to glean out of this and not the fact that you could probably finish my sermon for me. We knew where they are. We know how long they were there. They were approximately there for about 10 days. We also know that it was the day of Pentecost. This was a Jewish harvest festival. And when Jesus had been there, I mean, when Jesus ascended about 40 days after his resurrection, this was some 10 days later at Pentecost. Now, stop and think about it. Jesus died, rose again. Remember all of these roller coaster emotions with the disciples. He walked with them and he taught with them for some 40 days before he ascended. Now he's ascended. His last command was go and tarry. I will send the counselor, I will send the helper, all of these things he said, and 10 days drifted by. If you've ever been anticipating a promise and you look every day for that promise, it's pretty tough that every day that goes by and it doesn't get. If you have been waiting for your income tax return because you were going to do something specific with it, you wait every day and look in the mailbox. Can I just tell you, based on what I hear on the radio, you might want to just continue waiting. because things are getting pretty gunked up there. But 10 days later, that may have seemed like nothing to us as we read the Bible. Probably seemed like forever. But the Bible says that they waited expectantly. There's a difference between waiting and killing time and finding something, and then waiting expectantly. You know what that is. You're just excited. You can't wait. I mean, your foot is on the accelerator. All you're waiting is for permission. And that's what was happening there. Acts 1:4 says this, that he said to wait for the promise of the Father, and we know this to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So where I want to focus tonight is this. We know where they were. We know how long they were there. We know that they waited expectantly. But what I want to focus is on that thing of that one accord deal. As Pentecostals, it's really easy to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what happens there. But what I want to talk about is that one accord, what that really means, okay? Can I just throw a little commercial in? Nobody paid me to do this, but I watched the series that's coming out on Sunday nights on NBC. It's at 8 o'clock. It's a biblical series. Okay, it's a little Hollywood, okay? It's called AD, and it starts right at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And they're going to walk, it's a 12-week series. They're walking through the activities after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And man, I think I'm looking with an anticipation. You know, we hear an awful lot and we see an awful lot in the story of Jesus and the calling to disciples, but now they're going to start doing these things about what happened to the disciples and what happened in the church, Paul and all through that. I just encourage you with an open mind but an excited heart. Now listen, I'm not endorsing this. I haven't seen it all, so I hope I don't lead you down the road. You're going, I can't believe you talked about that. It's nothing but heresy. I don't know. But I saw it last week, and I got pretty excited about it. So I think that it was something that you might want to investigate. Now, the reason I say that is they're fixing to move into that time after Jesus resurrected and literally on the event where the baptism of the Holy Spirit fell. Acts 1 chapter 14 says they continued in one accord. In Acts 2, it says they were all in one accord, but what does this mean? And especially, what does it mean for me and you? Okay, that word accord has a double meaning. The first meaning is very simple. It's a physical reference. Physically, it means that they were in one place. They were the same group, okay? They were all in one place. They were collected together. You know what? Tonight, we're in accord because we're in the same building. We're in the same room. So by definition, we are in one accord according to what that physical definition is. But it also has a mental and a spiritual connotation as well. It means that they were unanimous in spirit. Now, if you've ever tried to direct people, it doesn't matter if you're trying to get something organized or you're trying to get something done or you're just trying to get your family into the car so you can stink and go on vacation, okay? It's tough to get everybody on the same page. But what happens when everybody's in one mind, one heart, and one spirit? Because that's what was happening in this circumstance. And it happens every now in the church. And you know, it usually ends up being in revival and things like that. This is exciting stuff. And that's exactly what's happened here. They didn't just have things in common. They had things that were in one accord. They were blended together, and God had braided them together, if you will, with a common purpose and a common thing. Sometimes we lose sight of that because of the activities that happen. We only have really the message of a couple of specific items out of the disciples' lives. Can you imagine what if we could have interviewed those 120 people individually? You know what they do with the tornadoes, you know? When somebody hits tornadoes, they see all the wreckage in the behind, and you see somebody, and they always, you know, interview them. Well, what if you interviewed everybody? I realize TV's never going to do that, and news isn't going to take that time. They just want that snapshot. But what if they took everybody's story, where they were at when it hit, what happened to them, what they lost, you know, the devastation, all of those things. I mean, that would give you the full picture. Well, you know what? TV's not going to take that kind of time. But somehow God needs to help us to understand this is a lot more than a little blip that happened to Peter. He got excited, busts out of there, and starts preaching. So three things I want to share with you real quick about being in one accord. First of all is this. It means to be in harmony. It means to be in harmony. Harmony is not a word I use a whole lot because I'm not musical. I mean, musically, that's where it's really kind of hooked into. Everybody knows what a harmony is except for me. I don't even claim to know what a harmony is. I don't know what a key is. I know what I like to sing, what I don't sing. I don't know if I'm on or off or anything else. That's just me. I am not musical whatsoever. I couldn't tell you. There's G, A's, and stuff like that. And I'm not trying to be silly. I'm just silly. I really don't know what all those things are. I really don't. And I couldn't read music if I had to. So let's get off the music stuff. We understand what it is to be in harmony with one another. If you've ever played tug of war, and you're on that rope, and you're tugging against another team, and half of them are pulling when you're pulling differently, and you're just working against each other, that's not harmony. We know what harmony is. If you've ever seen the picture of the rowboats, sometimes the competition rowboats, you have somebody in the back that's yelling, row, row, row. And they're doing that so that everybody will be on the same type of rhythm of rowing that boat. It makes it go that much more faster. Just think if they were off. Their oars would probably be hitting. They wouldn't be going as fast. They would lose every race. So we understand what that is. It literally means to be this. It means to be in agreement. Many voices singing the same song makes great music. Do you agree? Many voices singing the same song. Here's the cool thing about our church. These guys are playing loud enough that I can sing as loud as I want. And I position myself strategically on the front row so that I don't have to listen to all of you guys. And you don't have to listen to me because I'm singing this way. But I promise you, the worship team have given me a few comments about my singing, and I don't really appreciate it. But that's you know, harmony is just like, just all, and it doesn't matter. There's good, bad, or indifferent. Is Royce Chapman here tonight? He's in a meeting? Good. Because Royce Chapman, when he starts singing on Wednesday nights, you can hear him above everybody else. And you know what we want to do? We just want to turn around and say, Royce, pipe it down a little bit. You're driving us crazy. Now, are you kidding me? No way. I'm all the way up front, and I'm here, and I'm going, isn't that cool that Royce is just singing like that? So whatever you do, when you tell him what I just said, tell him it was a compliment. I know how you guys twist my words. Obviously, you know, that's just the way it is. Listen, when you're in charge, it is your responsibility to create harmony. When you're not in charge, it is your job to encourage harmony. See, when you're in charge, you're trying to get all this stuff together. You're trying to get everybody aligned. You're trying to get everything going in the right direction. You're in the back going, row, row, row. But if you're the guy rowing, then you need to be the one encouraging everybody else to get on the row, row, row. And that's our jobs. We don't like that sometimes. But we all have a job. Listen, let me tell you one thing about One Accord that I love what Phil said today when he was talking about his vision and what he was talking about dreaming again, that these things are always going to have difficult problems, difficult circumstances. Anytime we follow God, it's not going to be warm and fuzzy all the time. There's going to be struggles. He talked about, said, listen, I'm following God. I don't know exactly, you know, what I'm supposed to do other than the directive God's given me. I don't know how we're going to get there. And he started talking about, he said, right now? He said, did you hear him? He said, my wife and three kids live in the basement of a good friend. He said, that's not where we wanted to be. And it won't be where he's going to be, but it's a difficult time he's going to get to going through there. And being in one accord is either driven by the Holy Spirit like it was on this very unique day in Acts the 2nd chapter, verse number 4, or it's going to be driven by probably difficulty or tragedy. Why are they in the upper room in the first place? Because Jesus died. If Jesus had never died and he just stayed on earth and he set up a physical kingdom, then he's all in charge and all we got to do is walk in step with him. But Jesus died for a purpose, and that's so our sins could be forgiven. But he also ascended. But when he did, he sent back the Holy Spirit. But when he sent back the Holy Spirit, that was awesome. But you know what? It was his death and his absence and his command that drove them into the upper room and gave them 10 days of wondering what was going to go on. It is always involved with some type of sacrifice. Harmony is pretty cool, but it's going to cost you something. Sometimes you got to have to start participating in what somebody else is doing. Let me give you two scriptures real quick. Psalms 13:1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We pride ourselves on being a friendly church, and we are. But I hope that people see far beyond a nice greeting and warm faces and people who are willing to embrace them, that they see that there's something underneath there. There's an undercurrent that just speaks to, wow, there's something deeper here. These people are really genuine. I love today. Pastor Owens, one of the coolest things that Phil said was a compliment back to when you were the pastor here. He came here and he just met people and there was something that just attracted himself to the Lord. And that was under your leadership as a pastor. What a compliment. How cool is that? We should never lose that. How good and how pleasant it is for us to be together. Galatians 3 says this, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Boy, being one in Christ is just super. That doesn't mean that we all have to look the same, all have to dress the same, obviously. But we just being one in Christ is incredible. And it's called harmony. The second thing is this. It means to have a purpose. The goal of being in one accord is to accomplish something. That's where some of you have been very frustrated when you get together. Maybe it's a Bible study or something that somebody, and you know what? You get there and it just doesn't seem like it's anything but a bless me session. And when we do those, you know, I'm not saying that it's okay, it's not okay to do that, but I mean, there's times when I just want God to just bless me. I just want to feel His presence. I just want to feel good. I want to feel a move of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you what, God brings us together and gives us harmony so that something can be accomplished, just so something can happen, okay? And it's amazing what will happen when that happens, because God wants to do some powerful things. In Acts 1, it says this, they continued one accord in prayer and in supplication. They weren't just hanging out, they were doing something. Listen, why buy a car if you're not going to drive it? How ridiculous. Does it make any sense? What a huge investment. You go out and you pick out this thing and you bring it home and you don't even drive it. Why be in one accord if we're not going to see God use that harmony for a purpose that is His purpose? Harmony without a song is pointless. And I found that as a quote. I don't say that as anyone who's really, you know, down the musical route, but I would imagine that I can understand exactly how that goes. You know, why have harmony if you're not going to utilize it to produce something really pretty? It's like somebody having an incredible gifted voice, but they don't ever want to use it. It's like being silent when you could be heard. It's like doing something to have an incredible talent, but withholding it. That would be a sad, sad day. The last thing is this. It means to be with and considering others. To be in one accord means I have to be with people, but I also have to consider those other people. Let me just give you two pictures. You can't be in one accord with just yourself. You're just one. You're not one accord. It's just you. You know what? No one was ever designed to go through life alone. God meant for you to be with other people. We appreciate our privacy. We appreciate the moments that we get to be alone, because we need those alone times, especially with the Lord. But God never meant you to be alone, because if you want to take that route, then you'll also start applying it to your relationship with God. And we want to go far beyond that. You were never meant to just be alone. There are no lone rangers in the church. One accord is not about counting numbers. It's about being together and God doing something awesome with us. And I found this quote as well. Boy, this is my last music quote, okay? Because I can theorize with this, but that's the final story. It says, you can hit the melody, but you can't have harmony singing solo. You can hit the melody. I guess that's the way the song goes, right? You know, that's the tone or whatever. But you can't have harmony because you have to have other people with that. You can't do that by yourself. And I think that's pretty applicable. The second thing is this. You have to consider others. Listen, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about what God wants to do through you, if it's not as much more than to you. We have to be real careful as Pentecostals that we want to be blessed, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it can lift over into it's all about me instead of what God wants to do through me. Being in one accord, especially in the context of what happened to the disciples, was so that God could do something through them and not to them. Stop and think. Holy Spirit falls, tongues of fire, rushing mighty wind, and they never left the upper room. Never left the upper room. On that one day alone, there would have been 3,000 people that would have never gotten saved because they were up there just excited about what God did. When God stirs our hearts in the context of any setting, much less the church, whether it's a Bible setting, whether it's a private devotional, He says, you know what? Bust out of this upper room that you got going here and go out there and do something with this. Let this enthusiasm, let me be what I found it in you, bleed out of here and go somewhere. In Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, He says this, "Here I will give you power to be my witnesses." He never called us to be selfish. He called us to be selfless. They were in one accord. They were waiting expectantly for God to do what He wanted to do, not what they wanted to do. That's the sacrifice about being in accord, one accord. It's because at that point right there, it's about, oh, God, you know what? I know what I want to do, but now this is about what you want to do. And that takes a disciplined mind. Let me tell you something about being on one accord. It's not just something that happens. It's not just a move of the Spirit. You know what it is? It's a decision. It's a choice. Now, I'm like you. I will admit right up front, I love getting caught up in the emotions. I love being enthusiastic. I like it when my team wins. I like it when I feel good. I like it when it's my birthday. You know, I like all of those things. But you know what? The majority of my life serving the Lord Jesus Christ was a decision to say, Father, not my will, but your will. I stole that from a good man who was praying in a garden one time. Not my will, but your will. It is a decision and a choice that we make. It's pretty tough to do that if we're not careful. I remember when 9-1-1 happened. Most of you all do. We remember those big things. And, you know, I've never understood why people would camp out, you know, before a big movie and pitch tents and wait for that, or wait in line for, you know, Black Friday or whatever it is. But you know what? I remember that day, somehow it just kind of grabbed me. We were living in Oklahoma City. You know, I need to do something. And I knew that there would probably be the blood thing. So we went down there and stood there in line for quite a while. And finally they came out and said, listen, you go home. We don't have anything else to receive blood. You know, we have no more direction. They run out of, you know, bags or whatever to put the blood. So we left. And I remember thinking about that. And it was kind of frustrating, but I thought, you know, I just want to do something. And maybe it was cool that I showed up. But stop and think about it. What we had in common as a crowd, as we stood in line there and we started talking about when you saw it and all the conversations and the new things, you know what? We had harmony. We were there for a common purpose. There was something that drove us. That purpose was that we wanted to do something very active. And you know the thing? Here's the most important part. It was all about others. Listen, we didn't know. I mean, we're down in Oklahoma City, so I thought, well, you know, I mean, what good is this going to do? That's way up in New York. And I realized, you know, there's ways to get that blood there. But, yeah, I just felt so disconnected from that circumstance. But, you know what? There was just something. And in the midst of just that tragedy, it pulled us together. I think that's what happened with the disciples as well. They had harmony. God gave them a purpose. And the coolest thing about that is they began to see that it was all about others. So let me end by saying this. The opposite of being in accord is discord. The opposite. The last thing we want, other than being in one accord, is what we strive for, is to be in discord. Let me tell you what, every one of you have known what that's like, whether it's in your family, whether it's with a friend, or whether it's in a church. And you know what? I think that we're trying to make a huge decision. We feel like God is leading us down a certain track. If there's discord, if in other words, other people that are part of this process, because remember, in accord means that we're with other people, trying to have one heart, one mind, one spirit, and there's discord. In other words, it just doesn't seem to fit. There's some tension. There's some frustration. You know what? I think I'd back up and say, is this God? And I have to also say, God, is my heart in the right place? What is this all about in me? So you know what? I want to ask us to just do two things in closing tonight. I want to ask us to just make a conscious decision, a choice, to be in one accord tonight. The Bible says that they were in one accord with prayer and supplication. And listen, there's always cause for prayer. I'm going to ask that we would just end with everybody just taking a few minutes and just saying, God, here with all of these other people, probably disconnected from all of their personal information, not knowing exactly what's going on, but God, cause us to be these people that you wanted us to be, just like the disciples. Help us to be in one accord tonight, praying the will of God so that you can give us purpose, collectively and individually. Asking God literally to say, God, what is my tomorrow supposed to be about? What about the day after, the day after? What about the things that you know that God is just kind of convicting you about, that you need to be doing better, you need to be doing more often? Maybe there's some disciplines that are lacking in your life. But the other thing is that we need to go far beyond that and make sure that we're connecting with God's purpose. Because you see, the biggest time that sometimes we measure accord is like if we're getting along with each other, if we're all in the same room. But sometimes we forget that we're supposed to be in one accord with Him as well. So if you feel discord, whether it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, maybe if you ask God, please forgive me, things need to happen tonight. Maybe we need to go back over the last few days or last few months or whatever and say, God, here's a part of my life that I have failed to put on the altar and leave it there. Would that be all right with you? John, would you guys just come give us a little cover music? We're not going to ask the whole worship team to come up tonight. But I'm going to ask you, as many of you that can, I think it's just really cool to come up here to this altar. Because I want to remind you that, you know, the altar is more than these four benches up here. The altar has always been a place of sacrifice and worship. We always have associated, and I say it so many times so that we don't forget this, we associate it with just bad people who've done bad things. The altar is a great place. Before it was ever associated with sinful people needing to go and give their hearts back to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was associated, especially in the New Testament, a great place of worship and sacrifice. Remember Abraham? He took his own son and bound him and put him on an altar that he had built. Afterwards, when God said, don't kill your own son, what did they do? They worshiped. Had nothing to do with sinful people. Had everything to do with obedience, didn't it? That's why Abraham was there. So tonight, physically, if you're able, if not, then just turn right where you are into a great place of just worship and sacrifice. But let's leave this place in one accord with our Father. And I think that's a great place for Him to give us purpose in where we go in one accord in our life. Amen? Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, there's not a single person in this congregation that doesn't want to know You personally in a better way. Doesn't want to serve You to the extent that we want to make sure that we're right there in the middle of Your will. But tonight, Father, it may make some difficult choices. Some of us may be in discord with somebody else or even with You. And tonight, Father, we want to come, this not to just be another Sunday evening that's a checklist on our list. We want to come because we wanted to have an encounter with You. I pray, God, that You will cause us to move, that You will cause us to have some very special private moments in this altar tonight. That You will stir our hearts to know You, to see You, to be blessed by You, but more importantly, Lord, so that You can direct us in being used by You. God, we want to be in harmony with You. We want to have one mind, one heart, and one spirit. We want to have a purpose, but oh God, we want that purpose to be in action. So cause us tonight, Lord, to yield to Your will in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I ask as many of you will to just join us in the altar for a couple of minutes tonight before you leave. Just bowing your heart, bowing your knee, asking God to just give you that fresh sense of revelation for what He wants to do in your life, direction and purpose, and allowing Him especially to give you just that one accord with Him tonight. Amen.